So, we are, thank you for having me. We are, so the sugya of Ibur Hashanah, of extending the year, having an extra leap year. When, why, how does that, when would it be, why would it be, and how does it come about? And so those are, I think, the topics for that we'll cover. Those questions hopefully will be answered over the course of the night. So there is a sugya on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, which on the sheets is on the top of the sheets. So the Gemara tells us, Tanur Rabbanan, in ma'aprinus Hashanah, elayim kein haisat sricha, mifnei hadrach, mifnei hakashar, mifnei tenuri. So these are the reasons why you would extend the year, you would add an extra month. So you wouldn't add a month unless you have the following issues, that people that are on the road, that are on their way to Yerushalayim, are needed for such a thing. So because of the roads are messed up, or the bridges have collapsed, so that is not like a totally uncommon problem, that is a common problem. There is, I don't know if you still have it, the making of a gadol. You have a copy of the making of a gadol in the library there?
The edited edition, yeah.
It is the fixed one?
Yeah, it's a big
one. Oh, okay. I actually have
it. It was also from
the hair, man. Yeah, oh, the censor one was
from the hair?
I don't know.
Okay, so that is, I happen to have an original copy, not a edition, but a copy of an edition from the original. So I assume it's in there as well, but something wrong with this story. That when Rav Yaakov and Rav Aaron Cutler, when they came to Slobodka to learn that yeshiva, so the story that they came during after Pesach, and it was during that Zman, and they tell us, and they came across on the boat, and someone was waiting for them on the other side of the river in order to get them, in order to bring them across the river on a boat. So why do they need a boat? Why aren't there any bridges? So Slobodka is a suburb of Kovno, so it was not very far from Kovno, and there used to be bridges all the time. So why wasn't there a bridge then? Why weren't they allowed to take the bridge? So apparently every winter the river would freeze over and the bridge would collapse. I mean, the bridge would stand, it would freeze, and then when during the spring when everything would start melt or over the course of the river, so during the winter they would just walk across the river. That wasn't the problem. But there were a couple weeks during the spring where the bridge had collapsed and they hadn't yet come and fixed the bridge again. So this is not like ancient history that bridges and roads would collapse over the course of the over the course of the winter. So these are issues that would keep people from being able to make it to Yerushalayim for Pesach in order to bring the Korban Pesach or in order to do what, you know, Aliyah L'Regel, etc. That's Shabbos HaKabbalah Drasha, so I've got to freak off of that, okay? There's a distinction between the two. That's what I'm trying to work on otherwise. So those are the reasons that we would extend the year. However, the Gemara then continues, Ein ma'avrinas Hashana, lo mifnei ha'gidiyim, v'lo mifnei ha'talayim, v'lo mifnei ha'gozlos, v'lo shelo pirchu, that you wouldn't extend the year simply because the sheep aren't big enough, or the doves aren't big enough to fly. So what do you need sheep for? It's the sheep you need for the Korban Pesach. So the sheep are nevuch, they're too small. So Korban Pesach was a year old sheep. And I think when I was in Shechter, he pointed out, I'm not sure how he knew this, apparently that sheep are born then. Could be. Right, so sheep are born right around other times, so they're little sheep that people would bring. They weren't very big animals that we seem to imagine all the pictures of people, you know, walking on a leash, they're sheep. So they were very little animals that were being brought to the Korban Pesach, and it could be that they weren't big enough yet, so there wouldn't be enough to feed all the people. So apparently that's not a good enough reason to extend the year, because people will just eat a little bit less. Or the birds, why do they need birds for? There's no bird offering over the course of Pesach. So a lot of the women that had children over the previous year had various korbanos that they had to take care of, so Pesach is tax season, right? Pesach is the time when everybody would offer all of their stuff, so they needed to, in addition to making sure that there are enough sheep to go around for the Korban Pesach, there also had to be enough birds that should be big enough and usable for people to offer as korbanos. But apparently those are not good enough reasons, because you'll find smaller birds to be able to bring. Aval osinoso sad l'shana, but that would be good enough in order to make that a help for the year. Meaning, if you need an additional reason, we're not sure, should we extend the year, should we not extend the year, who the we are is something that we'll get to. But should we not? So, alright, well, look, the nevach, the sheep are tiny. All right, fine. That's enough. We'll be able to move the year. That's what it sounds like from this Gemara. And then it tells a story about how they complained that the doves weren't big enough, and that was added on to the other reasons in order to extend the year. So that's the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Then there's a story about how humble Rabbi Gamliel was. And then you get to two dots in the middle of Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. So all of a sudden, it seems to start fresh again. The Gemara says, by the way, when do we extend the year? What do we have in Ibur Hashanah? So Tana Rabban, the Gemara says, oh, I know. Al Shlosh Advarim Ma'avirnes Hashanah. There might be three reasons why we might extend the year, and these sound like a solid three reasons. Al Ha'aviv, V'al Ha'peiros Ilon, Ilon, V'al Ha'tkufa. So these three reasons, because it's springtime, it needs to be springtime. What is that? What is that referring to? That's referring to... Right, that's referring to the springtime that Pesach is coming, but it's in addition to that, it's that the Korban Omer, that there's enough that there's enough grain that has grown in order to bring the Korban Omer, v'al peirus ha'ilan, v'al hatkufa, and on the fruits of the tree, because you needed to make sure that there were enough, that the fruit were developed enough in order to bring them on Shavuos time. And then the tkufa. What is the tkufa? So the tkufa has to do with the dates. That probably come across this a little bit so far, that the that Pesach and Shavuos have to start after the equinox. We call it the equinox, they call it tkufas Nisan. So it has to be that, which is based on the solar calendar, so it has to be late enough. If it falls too early, so then we're going to add another month in order to extend it later. So those are the three reasons that we extend the year. No mention of any bridges or roads or anything like that they mentioned in the previous Amud. So then the Gemara comments, and how many of these reasons do you need? So al shnei mehen ma'avrin, v'al echad mehen ein ma'avrin. So if you have two of those reasons, two out of three will carry the day. One of those reasons is not enough to be ma'avrin the shana. So you need two out of those three. Of Zman Aviv Echad Mehen Hakol Smechen. But when Aviv was one of those reasons, so everybody was happy. Why is everybody happy? What does that mean? So Aviv is again referring to that the grains were grown, there had to be enough grain in order for people to be able to bring the Korban Omer. So when you would have a extra month during the year, so on one hand, okay, so Pesach is going to be later, but it's also a disadvantage to everybody, because that means that they can't have the chadash grains don't become yashan. The previous year's grains only flip over when you bring the Korban Omer. So you can't eat any of the grains that were grown the previous year. So everybody's chalashing to have their grains that they harvested over the previous year. And all of a sudden they say, well, sorry, announcement just came from Beis Din that we're holding off for another year. Oh, so they're all about to have the chadash grain. So when if the grains were the reason for the extending it, meaning they didn't have any grains anyways in order to partake of, so then okay, so then people are like, great, this is like a perfect year to extend. I was just thinking, I don't have any grain to eat once Pesach hits. This is a perfect year to have an extra month. I'm glad Beis Din extended the month. Great. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Al Hatkufa. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel has this cryptic statement where he says Al Hatkufa. He just said those words, Al Hatkufa. So the Gemara asks, so Yibailu, they ask, Al Hatkufa Smechin, Al Hatkufa Ma'avrin. Wait, what did he mean by those words? Did he mean that when it was because of the Tkufa, when it was because of the equinox, everybody was happy about that? That was reason for joy. Al Hatkufa Ma'avrin, or was Tkufa enough to be Ma'avir the Shana? I mean, could that trump the other two reasons that were given in the Braisa? And the Gemara responds, Teku. They shrugs their shoulders and are not sure. Okay, so you have Gemara A, he talks about bridges and roads and snow and sleet, and then which adds reasons to extend the year. And then you have Gemara number 2 that is discussed 20 lines apart that says these are the reasons that you would extend the year. It has to do with grain and bikurim and dates over the course of the year. So how do you resolve those two Gemaras that seem to be in contradiction to one another?
It could be a continuation of a list, but just a different category of reasons. It's a lot of dafka that it's like one is contradicting the other. It's just that there's the first list is like for specific like technical reasons of like traveling to get there, and the second is more of like yearly events. And it's like, meaning that there doesn't have to be a dafka astira, just like both two of the same things in different.
Okay, so that, well, Well, obviously, stiras get resolved, otherwise I wouldn't be here, right? So there's a couple of ways. So one way is, I think the two opinions we're going to quote from Tosfos, and then we're going to quote from the Rambam, so they kind of will take what you just said and give two different reasons as to why we distinguish. So Tosfos's reason, Tosfos actually appears on the first Amud, which is like one of those Tosfos and you read it, then, oh, I don't know what the other Gemara is, it doesn't matter to me, and then when you get to the other Gemara, oh, Tosfos on the previous Amud, so I can skip it. But Tosfos here raises this question and says, that would be the first Tosfos that's on the page here. It says, so why don't we mention the three simanim that are coming later? I mean, these are the Gemaras that are, these are the reasons here. What about the three reasons on the next page? Until, unless you learn the next page, you have no idea what he's talking about. But mishum da al shanim shnayim mehen ma'avrin, aval hani afilu echad mahani ma'avrin. He says, because those, you need two reasons, right? That's what the Gemara said. Need two out of three, and except for maybe Tekufa. While in this Gemara, these are one. So if the bridge that crosses whatever you would cross from wherever you were coming, the bridge that crosses, if the Allenby Bridge, right, that crosses the Jordan, so if that bridge is down, so okay, that's going to be enough to extend it, regardless of what time of year, and regardless of the wheat crop, and regardless of Bikurim that could possibly be brought, it doesn't matter. One of those reasons is enough, and on Amud Beis, those three reasons that are given, those are two out of three. And then Tosfos continues on and says, Uvebraisa de Besamach, Gami Gedeim, Vitalayim, Vigozla, Shalo Perchu, right, when it talks about the what about the middle brisa, which weren't good enough reasons? Meaning, if this is one reason counts, and those are two reason counts, so what is this issue with these reasons that are not good enough to count, but can tip the scales? I mean, what happens to those category three things? So those lo chashiv lehu mishum da hanach de besamach afilu ashtay mehen in ma'avrin alav elish osna so sadim echad migimol siman. He says, you're right, those don't get added on. So even two of those are not going to work, but they could be added on to the three on the next page. So two out of those three, or one out of those three, plus one of these guys on the bottom. So that seems to be the cheshbon that Tosfos is saying. What the details of that are hard to tell, because this isn't quoted, like there's no Shulchan Aruch that discusses this. But that seems to be what the Shitas of Tosfos, Shitas Tosfos says, that we have these different prices. Why do we have different prices? Well, they have different point values. One of them is, one of these reasons is good enough, while the other prices are going to be used to add together or combine with other things.
Combining is a little peculiar, think about it, because the whole thing is subjective anyway. I mean, you're talking subjective. What does it mean there is enough grain? Is not enough, their animals are big enough, not big enough? The Gemara sets no shear for how much and how. What kind of assessment were they doing? So,
right. So there is a the next Gemara that I think is on here that is not on here. Okay, that's okay. Oh, no, it is. There it is. That's the one that I skipped. Okay. The next Gemara seems to imply that there's a shear of there being no grain. And we're not really used to that in this country. But that seems to be the impression that one gets from this pasuk that he quotes here from Malachim, is that they were able to find some grain to use for the Korban Omer, and that was enough. Now, I'm not sure how this works, because that, in a way that works not in everyone's favor. Because if you're going to find enough grain for the Omer, so then no one's going to have anything to eat for another whole year. So I'm not sure how that plays out. But they seem to be talking about no grain, or the fruits are not good enough. Now there is, where is it? I mean, there's going to be different regions of Eretz Yisrael. They're going to have different impacts. So the Gemara, in between where we're learning, discusses that issue of, well, where are we geographically, what are we talking about? But the Gemara seems to say, yeah, that there's nothing. If there's nothing, we can't bring the Korban Omer. Well, we got to hold off a month in order to bring the Korban Omer. I point out, the rabbis all voted for this year, of course, to have an Ibur Shana. If it wasn't for that vote passing, it would have snowed the week after Pesach. Anybody realize that? Yeah. Like, oh, that's why I cast my vote the way I... No, okay. We don't exactly vote. We'll get to that later. So, all right, so that is the Shitas HaTosfos. Now, the way this then spells itself out in the... okay, I think should have enough here. I meant to bring the Rambam here.
You want to see that?
Yes, please.
Which one?
Rambam in Zmanim. What's your name, by
the way? Sarah.
Sarah. Okay, welcome.
Thank you.
This is the end of it. This is the only Gemara that mentions that Tekufa is a idea that Pesach must be in half Tekufa. This is the only Gemara.
Well, you have that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah.
That Gemara in Rosh
Hashanah. That seems to also talk about Tekufa as being the main... thank you.
Which is interesting, that's what everyone knows nowadays. You definitely at least have a hotman in the Gemara.
Ah.
That is not enough to
Oh, okay, right. Everybody knows about Tekufa today, but we know that needs to happen. All right, so that sort of works itself into the Rambam then. Okay, so how does the Rambam pass in terms of these different things? So the Rambam, right, so what do we have on this sheet? Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Gimel, and Hay. All right, so the Rambam in Perek Dalet, Halacha Aleph, so he says, Shana Veresi Shana Shemusifin Bachot, right? A year is a year when you add a month. So that's really Halacha Aleph, and we need to make sure that, and that's based on the idea of Shemoras Chodesh Ha'aviv, that we need to make sure that Pesach is during the spring season. And, fine. That's good. Halacha Beis. So, Al Shlosha Simanim Avernes Hashana. The Rambam goes straight to Amud Beis. For these three reasons, we're going to be Ba'aver the Shana. Al Tekufa, V'al Aviv, V'al Peiros Ilam. And he quotes that Gemara. How does it work? Ketzad, based in Mechashin, B'yodin, in Tiyat, Kufa, Nisan, B'shisha, Sar, B'nisan, O'achar, Zman, Zem, Avinu, Sa, Hashana. So he figures out if it's going to be before or after the Tekufas Nisan, and based on, and if it's going to fall before, so then we'd be Ma'avir, the Shana. V'yasu, Osu, Nisan, other Shani, then we're going to make Nisan into another Shani, and in order that Pesach should be this time, V'yal Simon, Zeh, Somchin, U'ma'avrin, V'in, Choshin, L'simon, Acher. And the Rambam says, Beferish, that he holds like, who was it in the Gemara? Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. We pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel. That is the one reason that you could extend it completely on its own. Now, how does he know that? Not sure how the Rambam knew that, but that's how he passed. I'm not sure if that really fits within general Klali Hapsak. But that's the way the Rambam passed.
In terms of possibly a teku.
Right. A passing a teku and B passing like Rav Shimon Gamliel against the Tanakhama. Right. There's two. Okay, and then the Rambam goes on and says, "V'chein." Similarly, "Imro beis and shadayin lo higiu have aviv el adayin eifelhu," that it's still bare, meaning the grains haven't yet grown. "V'lod samchu peiros ha'ilan shadarkan litzmoach bizman ha'pesach," and similarly, that the peiros of the tree haven't yet grown, and they generally would grow as they generally have sprouted during the time of Pesach in order to be able to be ripe enough to bring them. When Shavuot's time comes, only a couple months later, so they're looking at the trees and say, "We ain't going to make it." We have in our shul, a member of our shul has a cherry tree, which is the official Birchos Ilanos tree, which we've made like into a big ceremony on the first day of Yontif. We all go to his backyard and they serve everything. But sometimes it's a little. So this year we're already good. We're good for this year, thanks to being a leap year. But it's always like a question everyone gets into like a week or two before Pesach. Ooh, is it sprouting? Is there leaves? What's going on? Okay, so that's what they're doing. The same thing then Pesach. So kedei sheyia aviv matzuli kari menu omer hatnufa b'shisha sarbeni. So you have here something kederach kol zmana aviv. So in order to make sure that you'll be able to bring the Korban Omer, and in order to make sure that the fruit will be able to be brought as they should be in the Zman of Aviv, so that you'll be able to bring them later on during the time of Shavuos. So what does the Rambam seem to be paskening here? So he seems to be paskening, right? Clearly, like for Shimon Gamliel, one reason, the other two reasons would then trump. And what about, and then he goes on and talks about the various areas of Eretz Yisrael. What happened to the first brisa? So the first brisa appears, he skips a halacha, which implies that what? That there's really a major distinction in the Rambam's eyes between these reasons and the reasons that are quoted on Amud Aleph. So what about those reasons that are quoted on Amud Aleph? So that appears in Halacha Hey. Right? That there are other reasons why Beis would be ma'abir the Shana if you need. And then he goes on and talks about the roads and the bridges and the people aren't going to be able to make it and those kinds of things. So what happened to this? But you don't extend it because of the snow or because of the cold, because of the people that are still haven't yet left their spots. So the Rambam does invoke those last two sections, that first brisa, but he seems to not be invoking it in the same way that he invokes the brisa B. He seems to be very excited about the trees that are growing and the omer that is ready to go or the tkufa. He doesn't seem to be as enthralled by the prospect of extending it because the bridges have all collapsed. So how does one understand that? So there is a letter that it's unclear who wrote it in the Igros HaGrid. These just came out. It's already like old now, this sefer, right? I got at my Chag HaSmicha, they gave this out to all the guys. Like, this is like the new sefer, hot off the press, and now we're all old.
They actually gave out the past Chag also.
And they did it up, so mm-hmm. Fine. So it's still new in some people's eyes.
They had leftovers from Europe.
They still have leftovers. At my Chag HaSmicha, we got this, and then they give us this bag of like all these farm that were clearly.
Yeah, they have. I don't know the main Hanabi or the biography of Rabbi.
Right, of course, right? We got the
Mechitza,
Of course, yep.
Yeah, I know where they're on. They're still in storage for the next Chag also.
All right, good. I got a cheer series out of that.
It's like JLIC book. Mugs. We just keep
reading. Yeah, keep reading every time we can.
So the reason I'm unclear on who actually wrote it, Igros HaGrid was in theory the letters that the Rav corresponded with his father when he was younger. So apparently this one, he has a note here, was found in the father's papers, in Rav Moshe's papers. It's unclear who was writing it to who. And I think it does appear in the Chidushim of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, but then they might have realized that no, it might have actually been Rav Yosef Soloveitchik, his son, who actually wrote this piece. So somebody holds, but the truth is you could find in, I think, longer form, the same Chiddush appears in the Griz as well, in the Briska Rav, which is Rav Soloveitchik's uncle. So certainly in that family, they assumed like this distinction between the Rambam and between the Rambam and the Tosfos. So how does one understand this? How does the Rambam understand these Gemaras? That's on the sheet they gave out. So he raises these questions, and then on the bottom left, the part that is underlined already on the page. Familiar. On the wrong page. There we go. So what's his response? V'ashir dinira pashat d'shlosha advarim t'kufas peros ha'ilim va'aviv v'shari simanim heim shnei chalutim v'dinim nifradim v'hilchus din ibur. That the three specific reasons that the Gemara talks about in terms of those explicit reasons, those are specific dinim, so to speak, with regards to when to be ma'abir the shana. Those are things that in a way you don't have a choice about. Those are, if those reasons fit, so then you have to be ma'abir the shana. Now it's still one versus two when you need it, etc. But those are dinim in extending the year. Tehem simani ha'ibur is what he calls them. Those are signs that it's time to extend the year. And if those things exist, then that's it. The year has to be extended. So Masha'in Kin Shari Simana, as opposed to those other reasons, like the roads and the bridges, but to Nuri Psachim, and that the ovens that were going to be used for Pesach, so Einam Mehavim Chalos Shem Simani Ibur. Those aren't a Shem Simani. That isn't a sign that this is a year that is Shnasa Ibur. But rather, Hashanah Lo Havil Klal Chafzah Shel Shana Haruya Lizaber. And it's not necessarily a year that was going to be Ma'aber. El Dezehu Din Miyuchad, but that's a separate idea. The Afalpi Deleka Simani Ibur, even though we don't necessarily have the specific aspects, simanim, that this is the year that has to be changed, we have an additional halakha that you have the right to change it. So amudveis are those are the three reasons that the calendar hits those years. Certainly the tkufa thing, but even the wheat and the fruit. One, I'm not sure that might be calendar related. I mean, we might think about it as, well, that's a random act, but it might not even be a random act. When the wheat specifically grow, that might have to do more with the calendar than we might expect. So those are, if those are different, so then what can you do? That's the halacha. The halacha is that the year has to change. As opposed to what was Amud Aleph, so those are things that are subjective to each year. It could be that the bridges would fall apart. It could be that there was an airport strike in Israel, believe it or not. You know, such things could ever happen. Could be any sorts of things that would delay people from coming. So the halacha is that we have a right to extend the year, even though it doesn't necessarily fit into the rubric of why we would, of when we would have to move it. So that's an additional halacha. Yes.
Where does he get that from?
Where does he get that from? He read it in the Gemara.
You actually could have died in the Gemara. Yeah. Okay. You look in the Gemara, right? So yeah. the third line of the first source, right? That's where. It's not about an Amar Avram Hashem. We don't do it, and you can't do it for no reason. El Gain Tzrich Ben Jachim. You need Tzorach to do it, and these are Tzorachim that count. Mm-hmm. As opposed to the language in the second source, Ashoshan Ram is really where you have to do it.
Right.
I think you actually can medak the Gemara very nicely like that. The ones in the negative. You don't do it unless you have a tzorach. These are acceptable tzorach. Otherwise, you can't just decide, you know what, let's make the year longer. I need another month of salary. You can't. These are the ones where you're deraisa obligated to offer the year.
I hear the first one, but for the second Gemara, it doesn't seem like it's like dafka. It just says like.
These are 3 years where you have to do it.
No, well, that's where you're reading.
Well, it doesn't have to. That's the price of it.
There are three reasons to extend the year.
Where it happens, put it that way, because we know it's not a rhythm.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like it's necessary.
Okay.
No, I was just saying, like...
Tosos agrees with you.
Tosos didn't, wasn't in that specific way, but in terms of understanding the Rambam, how the Rambam would make the distinction that he does, so that, I think, is a pretty good way to understand it as well.
Does he explain his reasoning in the...
Oh, there's another few pages here.
Yeah, okay, fine. So maybe I've seen
it. So apparently Roy Tavis has one in his house that you can buy.
We have one in the base.
Much of it has to do with the Shitas Rashi, whether Rashi fits with Tosfos or not, but that is the basic chiddush that the Rav has with regards to the Shitas Rava. Okay, so that is step number one. However, here's the Rambam. Okay, so if we move along a little bit. Yeah, so if you move along in the Rambam, so the Rambam gets to Halacha Tesayin. Yeah, there you go. Halacha Tesayin. So there is, before we do that, the Gemara continues. And there's one more Gemara. It skips another 20 lines. And then, on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, going on to Yud Beis Amud Aleph, that also appears on the sheet, right? The third Gemara in Sanhedrin there on the sheet. So it has the additional thing. Tan Rabbanan in Ma'aver Nes Hashana B'Shnei Ravon. That one should not be Ma'aver the Shana during the years of, if there happens to be a famine around. So Tanya Rabbi Omer, V'ishba Mibal Shalisha, V'yavul Yisha Elokim Lechem, Bikurim Ashirim Lechem Seorim. So we have this pasuk in Malachim Beis that describes somebody coming, and he brought food that would be able to be brought for the Bikurim. And the Gemara comments, "Vein lecha kala b'chol eretz Yisrael levashal peirosah yosim yibal shlisha." And there wasn't any place in Israel that was faster in making their peiros than in this place called Shlisha. And even so, lo bachra ela minecha. There was only one type that was ripe, and the Shema Tomar Chit. Maybe you say there was the Chitim Tamal Lomer Seorim. No, it was Seorim. Only Nebuch. Only one small amount of Seorim was ripe, and Shema Tomar Lifnei Omer Tamal Lomer Tein La'am V'Yochelu. Achar Omer Haya, that it was after the Omers. Emer Ma'atas, so we should say from here, Ru'uya Haisa Ota Shana Shetiz Aver. To say, oh, well, it sounds like that sounds like a good year when you should be Ma'aber the Shana. So if they ma lo ivra Elisha, so why didn't Elisha be ma'abir the shana? It seems like there wasn't enough bread, etc. So he says shashnas betzura ha'isa v'hayu akol ratzim leves agronos. He says because it happened to be a year of famine and everybody wanted to run to the storehouses. So it sounds like despite the reasons that are mentioned in the Gemara, the agricultural reasons that are mentioned in the Gemara, They would override that if there was a specific need because it was a shnas ramot, because it was a year of famine. Right, so that's Gemara C. So we can over. It sounds like simple reading of that Gemara is that you would, if there is a famine, you would never have a leap year because the people need it. The people can't handle a leap year. They need to get they need the chadash grains to turn into yashan grains, and that's what's going on in that Gemara. So of course, leave it to the Rambam to say, well, yearly, it appears to me that perhaps something should be a little bit different. The Rambam in the halacha right before it, in halacha tesvav, says that quotes that Gemara. Quotes that Gemara as saying that if it happens to be a year of a famine, so you're not going to extend the year. However, comes along the Rambam in halacha tesvav, yearly says esha amru chachamim im ma'averim b'shnas ravon v'shvius. That which the chachamim say that we're not ma'aver the shana. They were not ma'abir during the years of famine. Shlo yavru behem, so that actually, shlo yavru behem, b'fnei tzorach hadrachim v'hagasharim b'chiyotzi behem. They were not going to extend the year because of the requirements of the people that are traveling or the bridges, etc. Aval im haisa hashana ru'uya lehisabir, but if the year had to be extended, b'fnei hatkufa, o m'fnei aviv u'peiros ha'ilan, which exactly fit in the Gemara as a question, ma'avirin li olam b'cholzman. So then you would be ma'avir the shana, right? So asks the Hagsagas HaRama. So it says it's not the Ravid, it's the Rama in the comments on the side of the Rama. So I think it's that Rama because he asks the same question in the Yad Rama. It's the same question that it's like almost word for word. It's the same question that appears in the Yad Rama Sanhedrin. And I'm not sure how he got to prime real estate. I think there might be one other. It's only in Hilchos Kiddush HaKodesh, and I think there's only one other. There are Hasagos HaRaivids in Hilchos Kiddush HaKodesh. I think I just flipped through it. I think I saw one other Hasagos HaRama. I'm not sure how he. This is a collector's item where he somehow is able to insert himself into the text of the Rambam. And he says, I don't understand. That seems to go against the Gemara. Right? The Gemara says, Vahamilsa Lesa, that can't be. To Behedya Garcia, and it explicitly says, Tanya Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Ishva Mibal Shlisha, quotes that Gemara, that story in Malachim, Ad Amor Me'ata Ruya Haisa Osa Shana Shitis Aver, until the point that it says that would be a year where they would have added a month. Ufnei Malo Avra Elisha, why didn't he do it? Ufnei Shnas Beturus Haisa, Vahakol Ratzla Besakronos, Vahasam Du Chazil Ibura, and there it was fit to have an extra month, b'fnei ha'aviv, u'peiros ha'ilan, v'chadim ha'farish b'vraisa, v'lo avra, l'fish e'im ha'avrin b'shnei ravon. And the reason they didn't do it was simply because of the famine. So how did he able to avoid that? So the Kesef Mishnah adds in, it's Kesef Mishnah in his comments on the side here, says what he himself seems to say what the Rav would have been driving it. He says, yeah, but what was not mentioned there is because of tkufa. And guess what? Tkufa is a din. Tkufa is a halacha. You can't not be ma'abir the shana if it happens to be the tkufa. Now, why he would only say it with the tkufa, not the other reasons, so that I'm not sure, but it seems to be going along those lines which the Rav himself said, that one of them happens to be Siman. That, well, because the bridges are down and the snow has fallen and nobody's going to be able to travel from one end to the other. Okay, but people are really, really hungry, and sorry, those reasons that you want to get your frequent flyer miles, that's not going to work here, and sorry, you know, we're not going to be Ma'abir the Shana, stay home, come Pesach Sheni, we'd love to see you then, but we got to get to the grain houses in order to open them up. That's all when it's a decision, when Beis Din looks around and sees, okay, what's in the interest of the Jewish people? How are we going to be able to celebrate this most effectively? But when it becomes a din, when it's a calendar issue, says the Rav, I'm sorry, calendar issues are calendar issues. We can't manipulate it that much. That's the halacha this year. We're going to be able to add a month, despite the fact that you want to go and grab whatever and get into the storehouse.
What were you saying with only the tkufa?
That seems to be the Kesef Mishnah.
Only the tkufa.
Why do
you say that?
Because the Gemara itself seems to talk about the.
Oh, the other grains.
The Gemara itself is talking about the grains. Okay, so the. Alright. So the Rambam then continues. That's pretty much section A. Actually, that was in the Aruch HaNer. Okay. Hanochner at least asked the question. So the Gemara then continues on. The Rambam then continues on into Halacha Hay, into Perek Hay. And in Perek Hay, he starts talking about, okay, how exactly were we koveya it? And he says, well, when we talk about being koveya the Chodesh in the beginning of Perek Hay, all these reasons, and they would only do this with the Sanhedrin that was in Eretz Yisrael, or the Beis Din Hasmuchim Eretz Yisrael, or Beis Din that had people that enough people that had smicha, the people that were real Sanhedrin people. That's how we were able to extend, as we all kind of envision from learning Sanhedrin or from learning Rosh Hashanah, that there were these great sages that were able to predict the calendar, and then they sent out a tweet that Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, Mechudash. And everybody was excited, and hashtag Korban Chatos. So then we get to Halacha Beis, and the Gemara. But then the Rambam continues on and says, "Aval b'zman she'ein sham Sanhedrin Beretz Yisrael." But what about if there is no Sanhedrin Beretz Yisrael? That could be. Ein Koven Chadashim ve'ein Ma'avrin Shanim Ela B'cheshbon Zesh An Machashim Rabayim. So we're only Ma'aber. We only establish the months, and we only are Ma'aber the Shanim based on this cheshbon which we established on that day. And Rambam has this description of how the calendar was established. And then he adds in these peculiar words and says in Halacha Beis, V'davar zeh halacha l'moshe misinayim. By the way, this idea that you can have non-snuchim, a non-Sanhedrin, establish the years, that's halacha l'moshe misinayim. That during the and what is the halacha? Shebizman sheish Sanhedrin koven al reiya, bizman sheish sham Sanhedrin koven al cheshbon zev shem machashu v'hayom v'an niskachim reiya. That this idea that they would do it based on the site and that we would do it based on our cheshbon. So that's what we call halacha moshe misinai. So that's interesting. Those are and some raise the question on the Rambam: where exactly did he get that from? Where the Ramban asks in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Very nice that the Rambam said that being able to extend the Shana, being able to extend the year, is halacha moshe misinai. In order for a person to make that claim, like, it needs to be something that has actually been coming down from Moshe Mitzrayim. Why would the Rambam be able to come up with this that never that hadn't appeared before?
Well, you know, an example why the Rambam uses that phraseology? Calls it halacha moshe misinai. To be honest, I'm not sure if one cares what.
I mean, the Rambam talks about halacha moshe misinai in the right.
I'm not anywhere in the Yad where he flew the explosion. I'm sure there are examples. I'm not to check why he doesn't ever say. Meaning, might have committed.
Okay.
Maybe I'm not saying there isn't. Maybe you can check on other examples where Rambam feels the need to mention that. I mean, I could go by a long search after, see if there's anywhere else he uses that phrase. So, I don't know.
I'm not sure
if I can
go by
a long search. Okay, whatever you do, go ahead. I'm just curious. All right, anyway, finish here. I'll take out.
You could, but the Ramban himself asked that question. The Ramban,
he's asking why the Ramban.
No, he's asking where did he. Right, how did he get that from? What exactly is the halacha moshe misinai? I mean, in his overall rebuke of the Rambam for his positions on the.
Is the Rambam asking for the lack? Sorry, I'm being nitpicky here. Is Rambam asking that there's no mucker for the Rambam saying?
Okay.
What was the challenge?
All right, here. Aval Mefarshei, Aval Koshi Agadol Hazek, Hushra Phil Hivasi Beno. No.
What's the phrase?
Halakha l'moshe misinai.
I'm just halakha l'moshe misinai?
Yeah. Uh-huh. If you can't look up, if you can't check it out, I'll look at Kiddush Chodesh Hei Beis, see what he says there. Copy the language there.
Dever said halacha moshe misinai who v'uzman sheis Sanhedrin koven aliriya v'uzman sheis Sanhedrin koven b'cheshbon zesha and b'cheshbon lo yom v'niskasha lo od ha'inyan d'shem adaver misoros v'kavel halacha moshe misinai v'ashlo nemar b'talmud v'lo huskar zeh v'shu makam.
Okay, so the lack of muckers was bothering you, right? Not the fact that Rambam calls halacha moshe misinai. In fact, the one has no
makor.
Okay, not a big deal.
Fine. So, what is that makor? Where does the Rambam get that idea? That seems that happens to be the din. So, especially in the Rambam doesn't, but that seems to also be against the way the Rambam spells it out in the Sefer Mitzvos. How this works? How does it work that the calendar is able to continue even after a time where there is no Sanhedrin that's declaring the months. So what does the Rambam write in Sefer HaMitzvos? That's Mitzvos Aseh Kuf Nun Gimel. So he says that we have in Chutz La'aretz that we're able to count. And no, which day is Yom Tov? Lo mifnei cheshvoneinu nikvav Yom Tov, not because of our cheshvon that we establish when Yom Tov is. Shumpanim el mifnei shebeisin hagadol shel Eretz Yisrael kvar kavuhu ze hayom rosh chodesh o Yom Tov. That there was a beisin in Eretz Yisrael that has already established that this is going to be rosh chodesh or Yom Tov. And then he goes on and adds on. He says, "Vani osif l'chavir," and I'm going to add something else and say, "Ilu efshar derech mashal shebnei Eretz Yisrael ya'adru me'Eretz Yisrael chalil el measto." So it could be that let's say there are going to be no Jews that are going to be left in Eretz Yisrael. Chas v'shalom that such a thing should be. Shel imcha ozos ha'umim kol that it should never happen. V'lo yeshem beistin is not going to be a beistin. V'lo yeh b'chutz la'aretz beistin shenismach ba'aretz, and it's not going to be even in chutz la'aretz a beistin of people that got smicha in Eretz Yisrael, that people that got the real smicha, which doesn't exist anymore. So if that happens, that we're stuck at a place where there's no Jews that are still living in Eretz Yisrael, so that's it. It's not going to work anymore. Then the entire calendar is then going to fall apart. So that's interesting. That seems to go against what the idea is halacha which we see in it. What did he say here? He said so he seems to be adding on in the Sefer HaMitzvos that it's not just the cheshbon then, but there seems to be something that is still actively perpetuating itself ad yom hazeh. It seems that even though there's no beis din getting together in Yerushalayim saying this is when Rosh Chodesh is going to be, there seems to be a reliance on there being a feasibility of there being somebody in Yerushalayim that's able to allow this to be able to continue to perpetuate itself. So what is that? What is that based on? What does it matter that there are people in Eretz Yisrael that don't have smicha, that aren't a Sanhedrin, that are just sitting around and they're the farmers and they're what does that help anything? So there is a concept which the Rambam develops, and it's on this that the Rambam develops this idea that one can reinstitute the smicha. What is that? So the idea of the real smicha, not that we have the fake smicha, and that gets party gifts apparently along with the smicha, but the official smicha is something that goes all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that stopped over the course of the time of the Tanaim. That's why Shachta once pointed out that's why the Tanaim are known as Rebbe and the Amoraim are known as Rabs, that the first group were rabbis and the second group were reverends, whatever that means, but that's what Rav stands for, apparently. So they don't have the official smicha. So then the Rambam establishes in Hilchos Mamrim this ability that if we all wanted to, if the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael would get together and reestablish and decide, all the rabbis would get together and establish that we're going to be able to appoint somebody to have smicha, so that would work. Where does the Rambam get that idea from? So one idea is that, well, there has to be some way of being able to give people smicha in the case that it was lost. But beyond that, it's based on the idea that the Rambam discusses in his introduction to the Yad HaChazaka, which is on the back of the pages that I gave you. It was copied on my printer during its low toner era, or diminishing toner era, which has been rectified since, but at that point was still so sorry about that. But the Rambam writes in the Kutras Divrei Sofrim, which is Rav Elchanan Sefer, or at least his, I'm sure he wrote it himself, or Talmidim wrote Kutras Divrei Sofrim, maybe he did write himself, but this is from Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Chelik Beis of the Sefer Kovetz Shurim. So Kutras Divrei Sofrim is very interesting. It goes to just how halacha works and how things function with one another. And he quotes the Rambam on the right side of the page. He quotes from the introduction to the Rambam. And the part that has a lot of underlines, which you can barely read, it says, "Avahal kol dvarim shebegemara habavli chayim kol Yisrael lechz ben bekofin kol ir ve'ir v'chol medina medina." I'm sorry. Above that, he said, "Beisin hagadol shel shivim ve'echad." The underlined part that is above it says, "Beisin hagadol shel shivim ve'echad batul mikama shan kodem chibur gemara." The gemara before the gemara was concluded. So he says, so "How is the gemara binding?" So he establishes the idea that the reason that the gemara is binding is because everybody agreed to it. Shem gemara hiskimu aleim kol chachmei Yisrael. That since everybody got together and they said, "You know what? This gemara is something that we're going to accept." So we're going to the Gemara therefore becomes binding. That's why he also adds in, that's why the Mishnah is binding on people of the Gemara, and that's why the Gemara is binding on us. So we can't go and have a machlokas with Rav. Like, it's just not going to work. Even though later generations could have a machlokas with early generations, it's not going to work within the Gemara. It was sealed. There is there is in the Sefer Beis Yishai from Rav Fisher, he has a really fascinating essay where he disputes this and says, in theory it could be true, but I never, why does the Gemara not record this great rabbi convention where everybody seemed to get together and somehow ratify the Gemara? So and not only that, the Gemara never records a great rabbi convention where everybody got together and ratified the Mishnah.
It wasn't a historical event. They're talking about that.
Right. So he even describes it as who decided to bury this big secret that we all wish we could have been there for. So
it's like
right.
The 100 rabbis accepting the Shulchan Aruch as
Exactly. So it doesn't mean that this, even though he seems to spell it as a historical event, I think this is actually in the a few years ago I worked on this, but in the Kovei Tzaharus of Rav Elchanan, I think he more explicitly talks about it as being an event.
Mm-hmm.
He actually, and I think he toned it down a little bit in the Kufis Divrei Sofrim, if my memory serves me right. So the Rambam builds up, and then in Halacha Gimel, he says, V'nir medivri ha-Rambam, Gimel, which is the second column over, Shehaskamas kol chachmei Yisrael, Oruban yish lehem koach shel beis hanagad, l'chaivim kol Yisrael lishmor lehem, that the agreement of all the chachmei Yisrael, all the majority of them, has the power and has the strength of the Beis Din HaGadol. And that and that's how it works. And then he continues on, So you go to Halacha Ches then, on the bottom of the left side, it says, V'nir de kibbutz kol chachmei Yisrael yeshlo koach shel Beis Din HaGadol, that if all the chachmei Yisrael get together, there is the continued strength of the Beis Din HaGadol, afilu bizman deleika smuchim, even if there's no smuchim, the habishas tasimas haTalmud, that when they seal the Talmud, kfar bat lahasmicha, smicha was gone, when we call makam chayven kol Yisrael yishmor lehem, but yet we all have to listen to the Gemara. They're at the kevim the Amr Torah, ein lecha ela shofet el asher b'yamecha. As the Torah says, you only have you can only deal with the shoftim that are existent over the course of your days. So the Rav Elchanan is developing here, I think, is a very important episode, is still active out of Yom Hazeh. I remember when I first heard this, listening to a shir from Rav Sobolovsky, who pointed out this happened with electricity. So electricity on Shabbos. So who decided that electricity on Shabbos should be mutter, should be us? This one. Electric lights. So when electric lights first started coming out, so there are disputes about it. Like, you hear stories of people on Yantif turning them on and turning them off, whether they should or shouldn't. And these are stories from, in a way, a long time ago, but not necessarily so long ago. So what happened? So over the course of the decades since then, so it's become developed that when you have a light that is electric, that has heat and that has light along with it, so that has a status of being an Issur D'Oraisa. So perhaps that works across the board in terms of halacha in general, and that also works. Perhaps might be what the Rambam was alluding to. The Rambam might not have been alluding to halacha Mishum Sinai, that there's a specific halacha that when it comes to the halachos of Ibur Hakodesh, there was this one halacha that, oh, and by the way, when you're not going to have a Sanhedrin anymore, you're going to rely on a calendar that's going to be set, etc. That, especially when we consider that the origins of that calendar is a little bit unclear, and there wasn't necessarily a chiyuv to establish the calendar, it's a little hard to understand how that would be the halacha Mishum Sinai. Perhaps what the halacha Mishum Sinai is that not only do we listen to Beis Din of Smuchim, we also listen to a kibbutz kol chachmei Yisrael. Listen to what everybody gets together. And that when we talk about, and that's perhaps what the Rambam is talking about in the Sefer HaMitzvos, that everybody got together, that all the Jews in Israel continue to establish this. It might only be Jews that are continuing to marry Israel, but they've all continued to establish the calendar, they continue to perpetuate the calendar, and that's how we continually keep it. Not necessarily just based on the fact that somebody a couple of thousand years ago, or less than that, wrote a calendar for the next couple thousand years, but perhaps more likely that, yes, that's true, but the way it halachically works is that as each month comes along, and as we spend Rosh Chodesh every month, and we establish that the months are going to be this upcoming year, at this upcoming week, at this and that date, and we're going to continually perpetuate, and the Yom Tov are going to be on that date, and all of Klal Yisrael celebrates it and continues to perpetuate that on a similar, on a singular basis, so then that perhaps is what the Rambam was alluding to over the course of that halacha. So,
could you read the last one? Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah?
Could you read the last one for Sina Rambam again? In the end?
Why
can the Chumash Sinai be that you don't require Al Pi Re'iyah?
So who's establishing that? I mean, that would...
Meaning that's... we figured it out. I don't know. Because, again, as you pointed out, it's a little strange to say, like... Why do you think that's strange?
I don't know. Usually, halacha l'mishneh sinai is an affirmative type of reason for something, not a saying.
So the facts are that we're not using Riyah anymore. So that has to.
One way or the other, you have to say that we're right. Say that we're only keeping Yom Kippur on the Rabbanah. Like, yeah, I mean, one way or the other, our calendar has to work on a biblical level. The chiddush of Beis Din, let me rephrase this way: the rabbis have the right another way of establishing the calendar besides Al Pi Riyah. Not necessarily the negative. The rabbi, I'm not just putting the positive and negative. The rabbis have another system of Koveh the Chodesh besides Al Pi Re'iyah. And that method is, okay, that's their own piece together based on general mahalach of how Beis Din worked. But that's the halacha l'mishneh sinai.
Okay, I mean, that might be, but you still have the problem of, okay, so you have the Sefer Mitzvos. What exactly was he talking about the Sefer Mitzvos? Why didn't he mention it there? The rabbi describes a process in the Sefer Mitzvos about how we're going to continually do this, Adi Yom Hazeh. So you could say, all right, that doesn't bother me. Yeah. He wasn't talking about a lot of that.
Yeah.
So perhaps you could, this might be a way to fit the two of them together. Okay, take it or leave it. All right, yes, Yashar Koach. Chag Sameach.